Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, Mo B, man, drop that. You know what time it is. Yeah, I know what time it is. So grab one by the hand, you know what I'm saying? And throw up that. Hey, yo, throw y'all fingers up. Dust out, dust out. Tell me, baby, are you lonely? Don't want to rush out, can help you if you're only. Let me touch it for wrong love, tell me. Cause I get caught up in the life I live in hell. See, I never thought I'd see the day when I would calm down. You ain't heard, I've been on the clown and get around. That's my word, see you walking and you're looking good. Yes, indeed, got a body like a sex thing. You're killing me with your attitude to match, right? Don't be phony, cause I hate it when you act like. You don't know me, I've been stressing in the spotlight. I want the fame, but the industry's a lot like a crap game, ain't no time for commitment. I gotta go, can't be with you every minute, Nick. Another show, and even though I'm known for my one night stand. Look here, I wanna be an honest man, but temptation's gone.
Welcome to TSP 365, Penny Sports 365, that is, here on Blog Talk Radio. And this is your host, Penny. And I'm here back with another episode here doing sports, what I do. I want to welcome all the callers that's listening live. And I want to say thank you to everybody who goes back and listens to this podcast on demand. Now, like I said, my name is Penny, and I'm the host of this show. And tonight we're going to be talking about a little bit of NBA stuff tonight. We're going to do an hour here on Blog Talk Radio, PSP 365. And the topic tonight is going to be the top five point guards in NBA history. And basically what I'm going to do is I'm going to give my take on the topic of the greatest point guards in the game. You know, ESPN just recently, this past week, put out a list of the top 10 point guards ever. And some things about it were controversial. Not even so much as controversial, but I believe that, you know, you had maybe one or two of the picks, especially the order, where people were in between maybe one or two people, sometimes maybe a third person in certain slots. So we're going to start it up by I'll read off the top 10, and I'll start from the top person, number one, all the way down to number 10 on ESPN's list. And that'll start off with Magic Johnson. Second would be Oscar Robertson. Third, John Stockton. Fourth, Stephen Curry. Five, Isaiah Thomas. Number six, Chris Paul. Number seven, Steve Nash. Number eight, Jason Kidd. Number nine, Walt Frazier. And number 10, Bob Cousy. Now, before I dive into this list, let me be the first person to say that there may be a name or two that I'm not too familiar with, meaning that for me being in my 30s, I was born in the 80s, there's some people who I haven't seen play. I may have seen the highlights. I may have heard, being a basketball player myself, not only have I studied the game and the insides and outs of the X's and O's, but I've also done my homework growing up playing basketball. I've studied some of these great players, and I've heard of them, and I've watched film on them. But like I said, with the era that I was born in, there were some of them that I didn't get to see play. Or if I did get to see them play, I didn't really understand what was going on, and I didn't understand that I was watching greatness at that point. So I'm going to single out those few names just for the sake of argument, because I will say that I have three notable names that I will stick in on this list, not in any certain order. And maybe one or two names that I would take off of the list for certain reasons. So the names that I'm not familiar with, I'm going to start with the least familiar name that I know, which would be Cousy. And Bob Cousy is number 10 on the list. And you have Walt Frazier, and you have Oscar Robertson. All of these players are historic point guards. And might I add, these are all also Hall of Famers. So once again, I can't even begin to you know, to get into the names of people that I would to that I would that I would like to that I would like to really articulate on this list. And I just would like to say to everybody out there, you know, just for the sake of etiquette, that this is an independent show. So for those people out there who may be listening to my replay, I do this from home. This is my child that you hear in the background. I am a very well-involved father. So please excuse, you know, the mishaps on my broadcast. And actually, what I'm going to do is I'm going to take a little break and let y'all listen to a little bit more of the music, and I'll be right back to you guys.
Yo, Mo B, man, drop that shit. You know what time it is. Yeah, I know what the time will do. So grab one by the hand, you know what I'm saying? And throw up that shit. Hey, yo, throw y'all fingers up. Dust down, dust down. Tell me, baby, are you lonely? Don't want to rush out, can help you if you're only. Let me touch it for wrong love, tell me. Cause I get caught up in the life I live as hell. See, I never thought I'd see the day when I was calm down. You ain't heard, I've been on the clown and get around. That's my word, see you walking and you're looking good. Yes, indeed, got a body like a sex fiend. You're killing me with your attitude to match, right? Don't be phony, cause I hate it when you act like you don't know me.
Thank you. I'm back from that small break. I would like to very, 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 very much apologize for the inconvenience of my child, who, like I said, who is very well, much mannerable and respectful, but he's also a little attached. So moving along, Bob Cousy, Walt Frazier, and Oscar Robertson were three of the guys that I really didn't get to see play. And from my understanding of what those guys did for the game, and we'll start off with the one, maybe let's say who I'm most familiar with, I'll say Oscar Robertson, who I know he was the guy, one of the first guys who frequented the triple-double category, meaning triple column, three columns with double-digit stats. You know, his thing was points, assists, and rebounds. And to clarify, he averaged 25.7 points, 7.5 rebounds, and 9.5 assists. And he also shot 48% from the field in his career. So, I mean, just on numbers alone, I can't argue Oscar Robertson being on the list. And Oscar Robertson is actually at number two. Walt Frazier is at number nine, one of the Knick greats. He's also he does the live broadcast for the Knicks games on MSG. He's another one who's one of the greatest on the list of the greatest point guards, and he's at number nine. And once again, like I said, and for those people who's listening on the playback, you can also contact me. I would love you guys' feedback on these subjects that I talk about on my social network pages. I'm on Facebook at Penny. I'm on Instagram at PennyPen77. The number 77, that is. And I'm on Twitter at It'sPenny365. That's the numbers 365. I would like you guys' comments. And your input on these topics, as well as your takes, especially if you guys feel like you would like to challenge some of these things that I have to say. But I ask that you always come with statistics or some type of proof, or at least something to back it up. I'm not really up here to so much as off of the top to beat with people. I like to deal with the facts. And, you know, when it comes to opinion, I like to at least have something to support it with. So now on to the list of the people that are on the list that I may believe who shouldn't be on the list, or maybe I believe is too high on the list. And we'll start off with the hottest part of this topic, which a lot of people were surprised that Stephen Curry from the Golden State Warriors is number four on the list. Now, I'm not going to be a prisoner of the moment, and I'm not going to just jump on the bandwagon, let's say. I do give him his credit, and, you know, going through me, I believe it was hard-earned. I was one of those people that wasn't sold on his game, but I wasn't sold on the fact that it can be so much of an impact. Right now, even with, you know, maybe I believe he's third year in the league, third or fourth year in the league, he's already being crowned the greatest shooter ever in basketball. And I'm not going to argue that. You know, I believe, but I will give him that on the simple fact that I don't think that he's not only the greatest shooter, but the thing that makes him the greatest shooter is that he's great at shooting in many different ways. He can shoot off of the dribble. He can spot up and shoot. He's very well in moving without the ball and finding spots. And also, his range. A lot of times when you have somebody who has real deep range, they don't have no mid-range game. You might have somebody who maybe can shoot three-pointers and maybe a few steps beyond with accuracy, especially without a hand in their face. You have some that may step up to the moment or to the situation and can do it with a hand in their face, whether it be defense or quick shot, a last-second shot or stuff like that. Stephen Curry and his shooting has all of that. Now, to complement it, like I said, he has the handle to go with it to start off with. He also has the movement without the ball. But one thing that I felt like was missing, and that's why I wanted to start it off, you know, when I wanted to be objective with this, when I go to that area, is because Stephen Curry is great, okay? And a lot of people would, you know, kind of slow you down to just give greatness out, especially this early in the game, with not that much of a sample size. I believe he has proven some things, and he has taken away some of the doubt that he has had. But let's talk about point guards. Stephen Curry, to me, is a scoring point guard, for one. I think the way he scores, the uniqueness of what he does makes him a great player. But I think he's great at what he does. Stephen Curry has mastered the art of combining superb handle with out-of-the-gym range. And he's taken that, and he's made it the first threat all the way around as a point guard. And let me break that down a little bit by what I say. The reason that I disagree with the way this list was given is because when you talk about point guards, in any position you talk about, I want to talk about it in its natural element, where a point guard, we know, is a person who, one, controls the tempo of the game. A point guard is the coach on the floor. A point guard is your facilitator first. Let me say that again. A point guard is your facilitator first. So when we're talking Stephen Curry, he's definitely a good facilitator. His numbers speak for themselves. 21.6 points, 4.2 rebounds, 6.9 assists. And he's shooting a career right now 44% from three. League MVP. He has a championship ring under his belt. And I think what happened was we went from doubting Steph Curry to actually a lot of people are raising his ceiling. I don't think that his expectations has risen too much that he can't reach it, but I think that people need to, once again, slow themselves down. I'm not taking anything away from anything he has done or that he has the potential to do, but let's jump back into natural point guards. And now let me give you some other names off of this list. And the only thing that I believe is Etchman Stone on this list, once again, I can't speak for Oscar Robertson, who's at number two, but I'm going to go with Magic Johnson, who made the ESPN's top list, and I'm sure who made everybody else's top list, including mine's. And Magic, let's just go down a little bit of the numbers, because I'm going to set the bar with Magic for these point guards, especially for this list. Magic is a career 19.5 points per game, 7 rebounds, 11 assists, while not to mention he shot 52% from the field. And important, but not most important, I'm going to say for this list and for the conversation we're having, but you have to take into consideration, just like with any sport, especially when you're trying to put somebody in a place, he has 5 rings. Magic is also a Hall of Famer. He has 3 finals MVPs. He has 12 All-Star appearances, all NBA 10 times, 3 league MVPs. Now, all of those things that I just said speak to point guard. First of all, Magic was one of probably the most unique leaders because just like Stephen Curry's shooting, Magic's all around was leading. You know, he was a leader by example on the court. He was a leader verbally, and he was a leader in spirit. And like I said, those numbers speak to it. The MVPs speak to it. The all-NBA teams speak to it. The 5 championship rings speak to it. Because last year, I did a video, a debate video, with one of the faithful listeners of the previous show that I was on. And we talked about that whole MVP thing, and we talked about the point guard thing. And last year it was a debate. It was when the debate got to Stephen Curry, Russell Westbrook, and James Harden. And I had to give it to Stephen Curry, even though I felt like James Harden did more. But when you say MVP is the best person on the best team, I had to give it to him. Now, part of the argument was that Stephen Curry's team around him was so powerful. Well, a lot of people can make that same claim for Magic Johnson. But these are things, everybody has moments in their career, especially not even on a pro level, but just in sports in general, that defines who you are in your career. You know what I mean? You could have had the best numbers. You could have been the best at something. But what defines you? So I'm going to take us through a couple of things that we know about Magic Johnson, especially myself, because, you know, Magic is around the time when I started watching basketball, maybe probably close towards the last maybe 4 or 5 years of his career. And I've seen a lot of film on him. And like I said, I studied, and I've things like Magic's rookie year when Kareem went down and he had to play center. I look at Magic Johnson as not only being the greatest point guard, but possibly the greatest player ever, because he dealt with the adversity of he had to play center. And he not only had to replace the center physically as a big man and do the things that he did, but when Kareem Abdul-Jabbar went down, he was also the team's leader. And Magic was a rookie who came in, and as much as he had going for him, he had just as many things that could have went wrong for him. He took the challenge on, and he conquered the challenge. It takes certain things such as the matchups that Magic had to face. You know, to bring his era into the conversation and to let it speak to the validity of me putting Magic up there, I believe that in his era, and this can speak for a lot of conversations about the difference between today's game and before, I think it was a lot more tough, especially for a point guard. For one thing, most of the point guards were small. And where the game was different, where it was a more physical game, it was a more physical game where fouls and things of that nature, hand checking and so on and so forth, was a part of the game. Those parts of the game, in today's game, you can't replace, just like you can't replace the physical aspect of today's game, being that the players are bigger, stronger, faster. And some of them even have advanced IQs because advancement in technology and sports. But, you know, Magic put up with all of that. Magic had to play with Magic, and like I said, where all of the point guards were smaller, Magic was 6'9", 6'10", having to put up with that. And he not only put up with it and overcame it on offense, but he overcame it on defense. Magic was a good defender, a good team defender. We all know he was probably one of, if not the greatest passers in the game. You know, so you have to take that into consideration. And once again, like I said, we're talking about natural point guards. 19.7 rebounds for a 6'9 guy, but he also averaged 11 assists. So, like I said, when you talk about the teams being loaded, you talk about Stephen Curry, where on the Golden State Warriors, and he had the same team this year, basically. You know, they was pretty loaded. You know, Klay Thompson, one of the premier shooting guards. Andre Iguodala even to come off the bench, one of the better seasoned veterans who still has a lot left in tank and a real versatile player and also a leader. You know, Stephen Curry was a good leader last year, but he really didn't have to, you know, take nothing away just to dive into that role. He had help with it. He had an Andre Iguodala. He had a Steve Kerr who brought championship experience, who was a point guard, even though he was more of a shooter player, point guard. I believe Steve Kerr fell into the point guard position because of his size, but Steve Kerr was a small guy who can shoot. He wasn't athletic or anything like that. He didn't really have the creative ability to facilitate an offense, but he was decent enough to fit in at the point guard position, and he was put on teams, or rather, should I say, through Phil Jackson in that triangle offense, like DJ Armstrong and other guards who were shooters. He was put in a position to be able to utilize his talents, which was shooting. And perfect situation to come to Golden State last year in your first year as coaching and to play with a player of your nature, let's say, who was a shooter, a Stephen Curry, a three-point shooter at that, with a little bit more of a range and stuff like that. So I say, you know, Steph definitely had a lot of help last year. And I say those things in moderation and humbly, not to minus anything from his accomplishments. But he definitely, you know, he definitely has some things to work with. I think that one of the tests of time for him, especially while they still have this group together, I think they've done a good job with that, is going to be to see how he maintains it. Once again, that point guard role is a leadership role. You know what I mean? So, and like I said, to finish off on Stephen Curry, he finished at number four after Magic, Oscar Robertson, and John Stockton, but ahead of Isaiah Thomas, Chris Paul, Jason Kidd, who are three guys that I'm very familiar with and who I believe in a natural point guard sense, will go ahead of Stephen Curry. You know, if I had to kind of one after the other or kind of put him one before or the other before him, I would kind of put him down there where Steve Nash is at. You know, they have Steve Nash at 7 and Jason Kidd at 8. When you talk about natural point guards, you got Magic Johnson and Oscar Robertson at 1. I would take Isaiah from 5 and move him up to 3. And then again, once again, I have to knock Stephen Curry down, because you got Jason Kidd in there. And when they did the list, I really didn't watch the program when the list was revealed. I paid attention to a lot of the debates, a lot of the discussion, the perspectives of people and opinions of where people thought some of these players ranked. But And then, once again, like I said, even for Steve Nash, I would say Steve Nash probably wouldn't even make the list. You know, once again, I would reserve spots and not move or replace or even shift for Oscar Robertson, Walt Frazier, and Bob Cousy. But if I say had to take one out, I would take Steve Nash out. And I would like to know what you guys think. And I would add in maybe a Kevin Johnson, who used to play for the Phoenix Suns, who was a dynamic point guard. I believe he was one of the most well-rounded point guards in his natural sense. He played with one of the greatest centers of all time, Hakeem Olajuwon. And Kevin Johnson, you know, he had the complete package. He can break down a defense off the dribble. He can break down a man off the dribble. He can penetrate and break down the defense, find the open man. He can also finish with finesse, or he can finish strong. His jumper was, you know, maybe I would say the three-pointer was the inconsistent one, but an open jumper off the pick, maybe a pick and roll, or, you know, just off of creating his own shot, Kevin Johnson definitely was good with that. And I didn't pull his numbers because, like I said, without even going into the numbers, Steve Nash off, and I know Steve Nash was a walking double-double, especially at the prime of his career. But I have to keep it on point guards in the natural sense. And when I do that, Steve Nash definitely gets a bid for this top 10 list. We're doing 1 to 10 right now, off of ESPN's list. But with the list that we have, if I had to reorganize what we have from 1 to 10, I would leave Magic at 1. Me personally, I would put Isaiah Thomas at 2. 3, I would put Jason Kidd. 4, I would put Chris Paul. I'm going to reserve 5, 6, and 7 for... Well, you know what? Yeah, I'll reserve 5, 6, and 7 for Oscar Robertson, Walt Frazier, and Bob Cousy, no certain order. Chris Paul, and then Steve Nash. And Stephen Curry would actually end the list out for me. And once again, like I said, he was the most... Well, actually, he was the name that got the most different perspectives as far as opinions, whether it was for or against. And Stephen Curry, like I said, I look at him more as a shooting guard. He has the handle that, you know, of a point guard. He can pass. And let me give him, you know, his credit all the way around the board and also say that Stephen Curry's proven to be a very, very... And when you look down the list, like I said, you take Magic for one. Well, I believe Magic, partially because of his size, was a good defensive player. Remember, we were talking about him playing against the smaller point guards. I think that Magic was a force just because of his size, for one. And, you know, Magic was all about basketball. So even on defense, you would see the effort. If a man blew past Magic, if he wasn't hustling back to make the play or get the block, he made the perfect communication to the next man, or he slid over and picked up the next man, or he was in position for the rebound. Jason Kidd, once again, and Jason Kidd at first reminded me a little bit of Magic, minus a couple of inches. One thing I like about them, which is natural point guard instincts, is they were both up-tempo players. And when you look down the list, you have maybe half and half when it comes to that. I would look at Magic, Stephen Curry, Isaiah Thomas, Chris Paul, and Jason Kidd as up-tempo players. Even Steve Nash, who played on an up-tempo team, he wasn't so much as an up-tempo player. I'm talking about guys who were always looking up, especially from coast to coast. Magic and Jason Kidd, were good defensive rebounders, so a lot of times you would see them either get the ball and make the pass up court, or just the ball and run it themselves. It was point guards. That's another natural attribute that comes into play when you talk about these guys being point guards. Another notable name that you can throw in there, which a lot of people will easily dismiss because of, you know, where he's been put to. But I would say Allen Iverson. You know, you talk about Stephen Curry. What about Allen Iverson, who was a dynamic scorer? And his scoring came in different ways. You know, as far as his jump shooting, it was more streaky. He was, people give him not as much credit as they should for his mid-range shooting, because I believe Allen Iverson was a very, very good mid-range shooter, meaning from foul line and down, the short jumpers, the pick and roll that he used to take. And a lot of people don't give him credit. I don't have the percentages in front of me, but Allen Iverson was a good free throw shooter. He was one of those players as a small point guard who would go to the line sometimes 10 to 12 times a game, especially in a playoff series where he was forced to take extra the scoring load. I mean, coming into Philadelphia, the scoring load was already on him, being their number one draft pick. And the team that they had around him and how he came in, Allen Iverson he had the scorer's first mentality. But just like Stephen Curry, he had all of the tools to play point guard, as well as he was kind of pushed into that position as a six-footer. A lot of people would say 5'10", 5'11". But let's not forget, also, in college, Allen Iverson used to play above the rim. I can remember plenty of plays where, Odell Harrington from the high post would throw him alley-oops or Abubakar Al. And, you know, he was penetrating, had Victor Page out there on the wing, letting him roam free, roaming the baselines for open jumpers and stuff like that. So we saw the two-guard potential. We knew he wasn't really going to grow after he had left Georgetown. So I think it was a thing that you did that was comfortable, because the one thing, and that's why I said people would dismiss even putting Allen Iverson in it, is his mentality also, which can go more than one way. But just to keep it on a general, Allen Iverson had what we call a shooter's mentality, or rather a shoot-first mentality. And he led the league in scoring a couple of times. He had some scoring records. You know, Allen Iverson's, you know, up there on the list. I believe he's under Michael Jordan, unless the list has been eclipsed by those two, as one of the players of with streaks of game of 40 points or better, even 30-point games. But his game, Allen Iverson can break you down off the dribble. Allen Iverson can run a fast break. Allen Iverson can facilitate the offense. And when I say that, I believe that, you know, some things happen in certain ways. The relationship him and Larry Brown had, I believe that it was so rocky because there was a lot of rebellion, I believe, in Allen Iverson coming into the league. You got to remember, they banned his crossover. They banned his dress code. Allen Iverson had a chip on his shoulder. As a small guy, he always was there to prove himself. I'm looking at his game and saying, well, part of that was being so small, he had to play harder and prove that he can score, and basically hanging in with the big boys. And I think that's a lot of where his shoot-first mentality came from. I think it was more of a persona of, I got to be the leader. I have to be the guy. And he was successful in certain ways with it, but when it came to Larry Brown, who tried to, let's say, structure it, because first of all, Larry Brown was a defensive coach, so offense wasn't going to be the natural connection him and Allen Iverson had. But on offense, Allen Iverson was everything you wanted. Allen Iverson at his best with a number two like Klay Thompson. Allen Iverson at his best, and he had Iguodala. But had he had this Iguodala that can facilitate his team, because when Andre Iguodala came into the league, he was more of a slasher, more of a run the lanes guy, hustle guy, steals, rebounds, blocks, the little hustle plays and stuff like that. But his game is mature into, you know, the typical small forward role that we look in now that Scottie Pippen revolutionized. So I would say, what about Allen Iverson? And Steve Nash is not the only name, but besides the three guys that I don't know, because I can easily bring you other guys into the conversation, like, let's say, a Rod Strickland. And I bring up Rod Strickland because he was on my list of notable players. And once again, I pulled these players up without their numbers because I watched them, for one. And at the same time, a lot of it is in their games just alone. Where Rod Strickland was the ultimate facilitator. You know, when you talk about decision making, which is an attribute of the point guard, you go down this list of from Magic to Oscar Robertson, even you throw in John Stockton, those were assist guys, Isaiah Thomas, Chris Paul, Jason Kidd. These are guys who were, the assist was a big part of their game. You know, these guys, when you talk about Rod Strickland, that was his thing, decision-making. You know, Rod Strickland had the ball on a yo-yo. That was his handle, first of all. So when we, you know, go down the checklist and let's talk about his handle, Rod Strickland had one of the best handles in the league at his time. And let's say to this date, because it's not so much about the flashy moves, but it's the actual at dribbling and controlling the ball and knowing what to do with it. I believe he was good at that. He would penetrate and make the perfect pass. And he would take the shot at the right time, whether he made it or he didn't. And he was real crafty with it. I like the fact that Rod Strickland, just like Kyrie Irving, was able to finish with both hands around the rim. He was good with his shots in the paint. I'm not so sure if he had maybe the floater shot. If he did, I'm you know, a little foggy on my memories of that shot with him. He was decent, outside shooter, decent, you know, at the best. But like I said, the decision-making, he would break down the defense. First of all, let's get into it. You know, Rod Strickland would break down his man, and it was to the point where you had to help because he was so crafty, it wasn't a thing of just getting a step on his man. He would beat his man and open up the defense. You had to respond. Because once again, like I say, like a Kyrie Irving, for not such a small guy, for a smaller guy, typical point guard, Kyrie Irving in more of the 6'2 range, just like Rod Strickland, 6'1", 6'2 range, these were guys that were still a threat in the paint. That was one thing that Stephen Curry proved to me. That was one thing that Isaiah Thomas had. These guys were tough around the rim finishing. As a point guard, you were made to facilitate by penetrating and drawing the defense in, but I felt like if you were a jump shooter, then your threat, once you stepped in with the big guys, you know, your shot was either going to get blocked, you know, or you were going to have to take a shot that your degree of difficulty as that type of player went up to me as you got further into the paint, especially with the big bodies on the pro level. But these were guys that were very crafty, for one, and had a variety of moves as far as finishing. Rod Strickland was one of the more nistier passes in the game, whether it be on a break or whether it be in the half-court setting. So my problem with this list is when you put these names up here, and like I said, it's pretty accurate, but what do you consider? Because if you want to throw John Stockton in there, and John Stockton gets a bid. John Stockton is one of the great point guards. And I say that meaning that he's one of the great point guards of his era. Because John Stockton was a natural point guard in his sense. You know, you want to go down his numbers on top of his 10 All-Star selections and 11 times All-NBA. He was 5 times All-Defensive Team. You know, he averaged 13 points, 10 assists, and 2 steals. And he shot a moderate 38% from 3. But, you know, John Stockton was the typical setup guy only. You know, he was teammates with the fellow Hall of Famer Karl Malone, the mailman Karl Malone, who is one of the greater power forwards in NBA's history. And he's one of the showmen in role in basketball. You know, he perfected it, him and Karl Malone. They both perfected the end of it. I think Karl Malone deserves his stake in revolutionizing the pick and roll, because he was the scorer, the screen setter, you know, and the two man, the other part of that. But John Stockton was very, 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 very good at that, because, you know, if we just get into X's and O's for a minute, just off of the pick and roll, John Stockton, what I like about it, a lot of people would say, just like Kareem's hook shot, he came down and they ran, they would keep running the same play. But it's the same play when you keep doing the same thing. John Stockton would open up the pick and roll, where a lot of people, it was either I'm going to the basket or I'm going to pass it. John Stockton always found his shooters. John Stockton was one of those who would pull up and take the short jumper. John Stockton was one of those people who found Karl Malone in those perfect situations for those pick and rolls. So I don't mind him being on the list due to the fact that he fits my credentials of being a natural point guard. But when you go 1 through 10, and especially you throw the names in there who I had as notable mentions, I would not have John Stockton up there, especially as high as 3. Because if you want to keep it to the top 10 names on the list, I don't think John Stockton ranks over Chris Paul, even in the numbers. And I think that's a fair comparison, because to start from the top, what most people go off of, neither one of them has a championship ring. Okay? But like I said, they were both assist guys first, who were looking to pass and set up other men. And the one thing that I definitely do respect is they were double-digit assist guy as well as double-digit points. But even when you go into that, I still have to say, how does Isaiah Thomas fall down to 5 when at 6'1", he's the shortest guy in NBA Finals history to win MVP? Okay? There's only 2 players in NBA history with more 20-point, 10-assist games than Isaiah Thomas. And that's number 1 on this list, Magic Johnson. Number 2 on this list by ESPN, Oscar Robertson. So when you have those things involved, and once again, Isaiah has the jewelry to go along with it, meaning championship rings. He has the accolade But once again, like I said, from he has the Finals MVP. He has the 12 All Stars, the 5 All NBA accomplishments, as well as 2 championship rings. Why does Isaiah Thomas fall to 5, and at that under Stephen Curry and John Stockton? Okay. So please understand when I say natural point guards. I never would look away from a guy who scores. Like I said, when I put the numbers up on Oscar Robertson, okay, 25.7 rebounds and 9 assists. But then he has the 9 assists to go with it. He has the 48% from the field shooting, which lets me know, for one, that he definitely was a good shooter from the field. And he did facilitate. You know what I'm saying? Oscar Robertson, like I said, I haven't seen him play, so I can't really critique or really pinpoint where his numbers came from. But to bring it in comparison, or try to bring some light or bring a quick comparison to it, with Stephen Curry, who's number 4 on the list, he was a 20-point scorer. He is a 20-point scorer, excuse me. Just like he averaged right now in his career 21.6. And we'll take the people who's up there in range, Magic at 19.5 and Isaiah at 19.2. Stephen Curry only averages 6.9 assists. And I say the .9 to bring it, let's even round it off at 7, but we'll stick with numbers as numbers. And we'll say 6.9. I won't round down or up. Remember coming into the draft and coming out of Davidson, Stephen Curry was on the board as a shooter, as a 2-guard in a point guard's body, but at the same time, we knew that he couldn't play anything more than point guard, even with the scoring, with the scoring potential. But the assist, I still don't see why the assist isn't there. And for Oscar Robertson to average 25 points and still have the 9 assists, for Magic to average 19 and still have the 11 assists, for Isaiah Thomas to average 19 and still have the 9 assists, that tells me that these guys were scorers also. They knew how to score in different ways, but they used their scoring also to help facilitate. So not only did they use their handle and their abilities to control the game and to facilitate and to get other players in the game, because that's what a point guard does, but they use their scoring as a threat. You know, we talk about Magic in that final series his rookie year and him stepping up for Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. You know, you just do the math. I mean, that was such a big role that he played, even to do it from the center position, because, once again, he took his natural threat of being a bigger guy, undersized himself at the center, but he still facilitated from out of that. You know, I've seen some footage, like I said, I'm an 80s baby. And, you know, I didn't see that live, but plenty of times I've seen the replays of that series and even of the games, the game when Kareem went down. And like I said, Magic still played his position and Kareem's position, if I had to say. And one more guard I will throw in there, though, and this is an honorable mention because I'm not sure if he would crack too many people's list, especially on his top 10. But I'm going to match him up with another one of my names on the iffy side, which was Steve Nash. And I believe it was, well, him and John Stockton are the only two names because, once again, Bob Cousy, Walt Frazier, and Oscar Robertson, I can't really speak too much to because I don't go back that far as actually having seen them play. But for Steve Nash, I would say, what about Mark Price? Mark Price. And once again, I'll bring his era in to help give him a little bit more credit or to help piggyback off of the fact that I'm trying to put him up there in his list, especially versus a Steve Nash or even a John Stockton. Mark Price had the what would you say, the makeup, the attributes of a point guard. He had he had decent handle. He wasn't the most athletic. He can pass also. He was decent with his facilitating, and Mark Price was a very, very decent shooter, if I had to say, on the levels. Well, let's just keep it to where it's at for number, once again, 7 on the list. I'm going to say Steve Nash. He definitely on a level, I would say level head up with Steve Nash, especially because of his shooting ability and his assist man ability. And last year, when I was having my debate about Stephen Curry in the MVP conversation, I had gotten into how I compared Stephen Curry last year. My take on Stephen Curry was he was just another Steve Nash. He separated himself from that physically and, you know, with his numbers too. I mean, once again, the championship ring right there, you know, takes him a step up from a lot of players. Even players that we match up with him, or I would say level up with him right now in today's game. But, like I said, he's only in his fourth year, and I don't see him declining. I definitely still see him going up as a point guard in this league. And like I said, for his size along with his shooting, I think that to give it an actual number for Stephen Curry, if I had to leave him on this list, I would probably take him. You go Magic Johnson, Isaiah Thomas. I will leave Oscar Robertson. You have to respect the numbers. That's 3. You say Jason Kidd, 4. Chris Paul, 5. I'm going to be fair. I'm going to be what I would call fair, and I will give Stephen Curry a fair shot at number 6. Him and Chris Paul is in the league right now together. And even though, let's say in their last handful of head-to-head matchups, Stephen Curry's gotten the best of him, and mostly has been in the win column. And we talked about that earlier in the show where we said that Stephen Curry definitely has a team out of this world. And I think that does a lot. I mean, I don't know. I'm still not sure if he compliments the team more than the team compliments him. I'm definitely one that thinks that he and Klay Thompson compliment each other. Even to this point where Klay Thompson quietly has big games, he's quietly being consistent, and he's quietly helping hold up that backcourt. You know, remember, they're Splash Brothers, and they're not the Splash Brothers for no reason. You still have the dynamic Klay Thompson, who last year put up 37 points in one quarter, okay, who was lights out. Okay, don't have the numbers from that quarter. I wasn't planning on going there, but all I'm saying is Klay Thompson is just as important as Stephen Curry. Now, Stephen Curry is the number one important guy, but Chris Paul has J.J. Redick. Okay? Stephen Curry has Draymond Green. And to that, I say, who does Chris Paul have? But at the end of the day, Chris Paul still plays his position. And even though Stephen Curry, like I said, whether it be head-to-head or just in personal accomplishments, meaning that he won a championship, he won more games, they're on the tear this year with only 2 losses. I don't think that so much has to do with Chris Paul not doing what he's supposed to do. You know, Chris Paul is one of the greatest assist men. You know, just to stop at that category right there, he's one of the greatest assist men. And I say that from any era on up to today, from the way he runs his offense, his facilitation of the offense, finding the right guy, so on and so forth, from utilizing his handle. He has a very, very decent jump shot, mid-range all the way out to the 3. And his assist-to-turnover ratio, I believe, is tops amongst any list. I think that speaks a lot because that's a career number. And if you go down Chris Paul's career where he started in New Orleans with the Hornets, you know, that was a team, that was an expansion team that basically had expansion pieces. You know, they had players piece from different teams. They had a young draft picks. They had a new coach in Byron Scott who was coming, you know, just coming into his coaching, his coaching realm. And I think Chris Paul still good. They still did good for the fact Those numbers, he was, you know, putting up those type of numbers back then. I think he was scoring a little bit more back then. But he still, you know, he started back then in New Orleans to set the tone for who he was as one of the top point guards. And I still think he does that with the Clippers today. You know, they've been going through a lot of changes since he's even in their backcourt. You know, they've been consistent with J.J. Redick as their, I would say, as their second primary in the backcourt. You know, not the, you know, say that he was the second point guard or anything, but they look to him for scoring and basically everything else that they don't look to Chris Paul for. But to go back down the list on Golden State, when you have a Draymond Green, you know, that right there goes to Steph's numbers and everything else. You have a guy who can facilitate. You have a guy who can finish. You have a guy who can rebound, play defense, and everything else. And once again, a guy who can run your offense and maintain these games, not only him, but maintain these games when Stephen Curry is off. We've seen that last year in the finals. You know, it took him to about maybe, I'd say, game four to find his shot, where they were down 2-1 going into game four. But you have people like Andre Iguodala, who was inserted into the starting lineup we spoke on earlier, who's an all-around player that helped, you know, bring the team in shape for the rest of the finals. You had a Draymond Green, like I said, who this year, I think that it's crazy to say, but he's getting better every year. And this year, he's really just showing out where he's past that level. But I wouldn't be surprised if he got most improved player, which is the award he could have got last year. So they're on a rise, and I think that they're going to try to keep that team together. And it's nothing but success for him, so naturally he will move up on the list. You can't hang on to the fact that he has a good team for too long. You can't hang on to competition or anything of that. If he continues to do what he does, and the thing that makes him special is a jump shot, which is something that is unique, I think he would deserve his credit, and he could possibly move up on this list. But I don't ever, or to this date, or playing in the NBA right now, or if you go down a list of point guards or players, but we keep it on point guards, to put on an NBA uniform, I think Magic Johnson stands alone in that number one for all the reasons, from his physical to his mental to the leadership to the numbers. Even to the team that he played on. He played on one of the greatest teams ever, the Showtime Lakers. Like I said, 5 championships, leading scorer in Kareem Abdul-Jabbar NBA history, one of the greatest players, also Hall of Famer. He played with James Worthy, you know, one of the greatest front court men, especially to run the lanes and finish. A.C. Green, Byron Scott, you know, one of the toughest, smaller guards of his time. And Magic played against a time where you had an Isaiah Thomas back and forth at you. You know, Magic had one of the greatest rivalries in Larry Bird, who wasn't even a point guard. But that was another thing about Magic was, you know, that's what showed you his leadership and his status on his team as well as in the league, because whatever team he played against, he was matched up against that team's greatest player, even if it wasn't man-to-man. You know, when he played against the Celtics, it was him and Larry Bird. When they met up against Michael Jordan and on the Bulls in the finals, it was Jordan versus Magic. When they played the Pistons, who finally got over the hump on him, it was Isaiah versus Magic. So even when he had Kareem and those other players, it was still Magic. And all the way to the end, I mean, I remember even when Magic came back from the short retirement from when he first found out that he had HIV, he came back to a team with some young players. They had, I believe, you know, play like Eddie Jones, Eldon Campbell and them. And when Magic came back, he still was the man. He still was the focal point of that team. So, Magic stands alone at number one as the greatest point guard to round off the topic at hand, which was the top point guards. I said top five point guards in NBA history. I'm going to give that to close it off and bring this show to an end to make my relevant point. Like I said, Magic at number one. And this is my own personal list. I have Magic Johnson at number one. I have Isaiah Thomas at number two. I have Jason Kidd at number three. I have Chris Paul at number four. And at number five, I have Kevin Johnson, who is my notable mention. And, you know, Kevin Johnson also doesn't have a championship ring off of that list. So, you know, I would definitely understand somebody dismissing his name. But like I said, my list is totally off of attributes and point guard in its natural essence. So I want to end this off tonight, and I want to thank everybody that listened, and especially the people that go back and listen on podcast on demand. And I want to thank you for listening until my next show. And like I said in the beginning and opening, you can comment opinions or any questions you have on any three of my social network pages. That is Facebook, Penny Pittman, Instagram, PennyPen77, the number 77. It's Penny365 on Twitter. That's the numbers 365. And you can also comment to the site. We're here on Blog Talk Radio. www.blogtalkradio/PSP365 will bring you right into the site for the Penny Sports 365 show. I want to thank everybody once again, and I'm going to end the show off, and I'll see you next week.
Yo, Mo B, man, drop that. Throw y'all fingers up. Remember, baby, all your lonely. Don't want to rush out to help you if you're only. Let me catch you if you're wrong, love, tell me. Cause I get caught up in the life I live as hell. See, I never thought I'd see the day when I would come back. You ain't heard, I've been on the town and get a plan. That's my word, see you walking and you're looking good. Yes, indeed, got a body like a ice cream. You're killing me with your attitude to match, right? Don't be phony, cause I hate it when you act like. You don't know me, I've been stressing in the spotlight. I want the fame, but the industry's a lot like a crap game, ain't no time for commitment. I gotta go, can't be with you every minute, Nick. Another show, and even though I'm known for my one night stand, look here, I wanna be an honest man, but temptation goes. Got me ready to believe.